Psalm 130.
Generally, preaching is one joy after another, and delight followed by delight. But there are times, as a preacher, when the shadows come, when the dark clouds form, and there are moments when a very gloomy grief descends upon the heart of a pastor who is faced with the task of preaching in light of the desperate sinfulness of his own heart. Now, I will speak for myself, but I suppose it is true of all of you as well, that there are those times when we feel, faced with the task of preaching, that the most foolish thing about all the foolishness of preaching is that we, as sinful men, are tasked with doing it. And in such times, here is a guide provided by the same Lord who created us and called us to this preaching ministry. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. These dark times when a preacher getting ready to preach can feel like he is in the depths may come upon you Monday morning when you sit down at the desk to make a final determination of what will the sermon be this coming week. That's a bit of wisdom somebody taught me along the way, and an old pastor who had been at it a long time. You may be planning your preaching plan some weeks or even months in advance, and there's flexibility all the way to the end, but in general, his practice was on Monday morning, before anything else, he would make a final determination of what the passage would be. There are other practices that work, I'm sure. That has worked great for him and worked great for me. But whether it's Monday or some other time, you sit down and determine what passage of Scripture to preach. And it comes upon you, it doesn't matter what passage of Scripture I preach, look at me. I am a sorry excuse for a Christian, let alone a preacher. And all of the Scriptures just come like a blurry fog. What passage am I going to preach? It has no bearing on anything because I am going to torpedo the whole process by my own horrible sinfulness. And all of those things that I have done in the past, the selfish treatment of others, all of the ways in which, rather than loving my neighbor, I have harmed him terribly. And all of those things come rushing before my mind. Such dark times may come on you as a preacher or on me sometime midweek when someone is coming for counseling in family relationships. Some wonderfully excited young couple who's going to marry, or some troubled couple in the middle of life who are having a lot of difficulty with each other or with their children. And when that counseling session is approaching, or even when it's underway, the thoughts come to the mind. Me? Counsel on marriage? I know good and well that I am to treat my wife with great gentleness as the weaker vessel. But I am such a bully toward her so often. I know that I am to love her as Christ loves the church. But I love myself, and I can't remember the last time I acted in love toward her. I am supposed to bring up my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'll tell you, I'm no great nurturing father. I'm a lazy father. If I am any sort of example to them, it's a bad example. And these are the thoughts that come rushing to mind and bring this grief over my sinfulness in light of the task of preaching. This kind of darkness sometimes descends, and this may be the most common, late Saturday night or in the wee hours of Sunday morning, when I realize I don't even understand this well. I'm supposed to stand before the church as the teacher. And when I was in high school, college, ever since, I've squandered my opportunities to understand, to study. I could have been diligent, but instead I was distracted. And now I have not taken the education that I could have and should have. I've not done the study on my own that I should have. And I have ended up here. Look at me. It's Saturday night or Sunday morning, and I'm not sure I even understand this. Sometimes that darkness can fall as we walk up those steps. It's the Lord's day. All the music has been sung. And now the spotlight is on the preacher. Hopefully in your church, figuratively, the spotlight is on the preacher. And we walk up those steps. And a few moments ago, when it was time to sing of the glory of the Lord and the salvation of Jesus Christ, the words were coming out of my mouth. But my mind was running through the same sinful patterns that it has gone back to so many times. I fit the descriptions of a pig going back to its wallowing in the mud, not of a holy man of God. And that darkness comes, and in those moments that we inevitably face, we are not left to ourselves, because inside is the Holy Spirit of God, which causes us in our spirit to cry out to the Father. The psalm says here, out of the depths, I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. There is nowhere else to go. No one else can help. And the Holy Spirit causes us to cry out to God. And we say of ourselves to the Lord, if you held all of this against me, if all of these things I did before I was a believer, worse, if all of these ungodly things I have continued to do, even though a believer, if all of these foolish things I have done in the name of ministry, which have been harmful to the church, if all of the ways in which I, supposed to be a shepherd, fed only myself and starved your church, if all of these ways in which I have betrayed the trust given to me, if they were all counted against me, I could not even stand. In the day of judgment that I'm about to stand and preach about, I could not stand in that judgment. I would be cast into the fire with the devil and his angels. As I go through this life and struggle to minister, I could not bear the weight. I would break down under the load of guilt. And even as I approached the front of the assembly, I could not stand before these people and preach. I could not stand before believers in Christ and preach the sinful, sorry man that I am. I could not preach the law and the gospel to unbelievers. Terrible example of a godly man that I am. I could not stand if all of these things were held against me. In that time of gloom, of grief over sin, of darkness, all that I have been taught by the teachers God has given to the church. The old ladies who took me into their class when I was a kid and made me memorize the scriptures that someone had made them memorize when they were kids. Those scriptures are there in my mind and in my heart. All of the times when my mother or my father had pointed my attention to truths of the word. All of the times when a preacher had preached or counseled with me, and all of the times that a seminary or college teacher had spoken the word, the Holy Spirit takes that word of God that has been hid in my heart and brings this truth to the front. With God, there is forgiveness. Hear that in the verse of this psalm, in verse 4, but there is forgiveness with you. I do not have to stand in the judgment, bearing all of the guilt of all of that sin. I have been forgiven of it all. I do not have to walk through this life or labor through ministry, bearing that load of guilt, because with God there is forgiveness. And I do not have to stand before the congregation or before unbelievers loaded down with guilt and with every iniquity marked to my account. I stand there with all of that forgiven. And in that forgiveness, then I fear the God who has forgiven me. I was previously tempted to fear the opinion of men. What is the congregation going to think of me? Or I would be fearful of what the devil could do to me. I would be fearful of what I could do to myself. But now I stand there forgiven by God, and I fear only Him. I do not fear the opinion of men. I do not fear anything the enemy might do to me, and I do not even fear my own sinful nature inside me, but I fear only God. And my soul, instead of a sense that I have no good inside of me and no good can come of all of this effort to preach, my soul turns to the Lord. And my soul begins waiting on the Lord. Hear this expressed in verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in verse 6, the same expressed as a watchman who watches at night and longs for the coming of the morning. Whether it's early in the week or midweek or the wee hours of the Lord's day, or even as I walk to the front and up the steps, my soul is waiting for the Lord to work. No longer am I feeling like the success of the preaching ministry depends on me, or on my past successes, or on anything in my own cleverness or ability, but my soul is waiting for the Lord to work. And my hope is no longer a hope that I can maintain a sufficient facade over my sinfulness. My hope is no longer that a clever turn of phrase or a well-placed story will mask the nature of who I really am inside. But instead, all of my hope for the success of this preaching comes from the Word of God. You see this in verse 5. In His Word do I hope. I will stand before believers and unbelievers alike, and it is the Word of God that I will proclaim. To whatever degree I am faithful to preach the Word instead of my own opinions, then there is hope in that. Because God has promised that He doesn't cause us to preach the Word and have the Word go out and accomplish nothing, but instead His Word goes out and accomplishes the purpose for which He has sent it. Now that gloomy darkness is being dispelled. by the truth of God's forgiveness, by the fear of this God who has forgiven. And I am waiting upon the Lord to do His work and hoping in His Word. And now see the blessed shift that takes place here. You see it in the psalm, and you have felt it in your own experience. It comes here between verses 6 and 7. Up until now, the psalmist has been dealing inside of himself with his own grief, his own sinfulness, his own need for forgiveness, his own soul. But now his attention turns, and he begins to speak to other people. And we preachers have that same great transformation as the Lord lifts us out of our guilty gloom and places us before the congregation or before sinners to speak. We now speak to our fellow man. Having been lifted up, we now speak a word to lift up others. Having been forgiven, we now speak of forgiveness for other people. Having been reminded to fear only God, we now charge others to fear the Lord and serve Him only. And here is the nature of our message. O Israel, hope in the Lord. The temptation is always to hope in something in ourselves, or to hope in something in the world, to hope in something in other people. God uses means, of course, but ultimately the only hope is in the Lord. And we stand and proclaim that. We have discovered that for ourselves as the Holy Spirit has taught us from the Word. And we have been reminded of it and brought out of this gloom to speak to other people and say, hope in the Lord. And our message is also, with the Lord there is mercy, faithfulness, loving kindness, enduring love. You know this Hebrew word chesed, which is worth a whole book, or at least a chapter of a book. It's been worth whole seminary lessons in my experience. Go study that if you have not already. If you have, be reminded of all the richness of what that means. Mercy, faithfulness, long-suffering, kindness, enduring love. With God, there is mercy. And see why. With Him is abundant redemption. God, of course, does not look on a sinner and then simply wink at that sin or sweep it under the rug or say, well, that's all right. The reason that He forgives, the source of all of this comfort, is the redemption that we have. The psalmist didn't understand it as well as we have the blessing of understanding. For him, he was looking ahead, wasn't he? Now we have the great privilege of looking back to the testimony of the great Redeemer, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came and paid that we may be redeemed out of slavery to sin. And so we stand before people, whether before believers as a reminder and as something to encourage them on to love and good deeds, or whether to unbelievers as the gospel part of the law and the gospel. We preach redemption through Jesus Christ. I have faced this, and I know that many of you have faced it, and all of us will. When we see our sinfulness regarding the task of preaching, but when those dark times come, take this psalm in hand. Call out to the Lord. Be reminded of the forgiveness you have in Him. Wait for Him. Have all of your hope to be in His Word. And then boldly, not mindful of your sinfulness, but mindful of the God who has forgiven you, preach that there is salvation from sin, that there is redemption for Israel in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.